this planet. In the days of his childhood, let's care for him as we care for all others in the garden, so that he learns the sweetness of living in our hands. But in adolescence, he'll soon realize that he's capable of much more than other creatures, and will become restless in our care. Shall we then lead him to the other tree in the garden, the tree of life? Another said, to lead Adam like a child to this tree would deprive him of a great undertaking. As we give him the care he needs as a child, let's give him the quest he needs as an adolescent. In the quest for the tree of life, he'll discover for himself how to have life for the lifetime of this planet. The others agreed, but one said, this might well be a long and baffling quest for Adam. Youth is impatient, and after a few thousand years of searching, he might despair of finding the tree of life. If this should happen, he might be tempted to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead. Nonsense, the others replied. You know that the fruit of this tree nourishes only us. It can no more nourish Adam than the grasses of the oxen. Surely you don't imagine that he might actually gain our knowledge by eating of this tree. Of course not, the other replied. The danger is not that he would gain our knowledge, but that he might imagine he'd gained it. Having tasted the fruit of this tree, he might say to himself, I've eaten at the God's own tree of knowledge, and therefore know as well as they how to rule the world. The other god shrugged. Perhaps in childhood Adam might believe he was wise enough to rule the world, but what of it? Such arrogant foolishness would pass with maturity. Ah, said the other, but possessed of this arrogant foolishness, would Adam survive into maturity? In his arrogance he might look around the garden and say to himself, this is all wrong. Why should I share the fire of life with all these creatures? Look here, the lions and the wolves and the foxes take the game I would have for myself. This is evil. I will kill all these creatures, and this will be good. And look here, the rabbits and the grasshoppers and the sparrows take the fruits of the land that I would have for myself. This is evil. I'll kill all these creatures, and this will be good. And look here, the gods have set a limit on my growth, just as they've set a limit on the growth of all others. This is evil. I will grow without limit, taking all the fire of life that flows through this garden into myself, and that will be good. Tell me, if this should happen, how long would Adam live before he had devoured the entire world? If this should happen, the other said, Adam would devour the world in a single day, and at the end of that day he would devour himself. And the gods saw that of all the trees in the garden, only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil could destroy Adam. And so they said to him, you may eat of every tree in the garden, save the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you eat of that tree, you will certainly die. I sat there dazed for a while. Then I recalled seeing a Bible in Ishmael's collection of books. In fact, there were three. I fetched them, and after a few minutes of study, looked up and said, none of these has any comment to make on why this tree was forbidden to Adam. Were you expecting them to? Well, yes. The takers write the notes. And this story has always been an impenetrable mystery to them. They've never been able to figure out why the knowledge of good and evil should have been forbidden to man. To the takers, this knowledge is the very best knowledge of all, the most beneficial for man to have. This being so, why would the gods forbid it to him? True. The knowledge of good and evil is fundamentally the knowledge the rulers of the world must exercise, because every single thing they do is good for some, but evil for others. This is what ruling is all about, isn't it? Yes. And man was born to rule the world, wasn't he? Yes, according to Taker mythology. Then why would the gods withhold the very knowledge man needs to fulfill his destiny? From the Taker point of view, it makes no sense at all. True. The gods ruled the world for billions of years, and it was doing just fine. But now, after just a few thousand years of human rule, the world is at the point of death. True, but the Takers will never give it up. Ishmael shrugged. Then they'll die, as predicted. The authors of this story knew what they were talking about. I asked. And you're saying this story was written from a leaver point of view?
That's right. If it had been written from the taker point of view, the knowledge of good and evil wouldn't have been forbidden to Adam. It would have been thrust upon him. The gods would have hung around saying, "Come on, man! Can't you see that you're nothing without this knowledge? Stop living off our bounty like a lion or a wombat. Here, have some of this fruit, and you'll instantly realize that you're naked as any lion or wombat, naked to the world, powerless. Come on, have some of this fruit and become one of us. Then, lucky you, you can leave this garden and begin living by the sweat of your brow, the way humans are supposed to live." Ishmael gazed at me. "And if people of your cultural persuasion had authored it, this event wouldn't be called the fall. It would be called the ascent. Or, as you put it earlier, the liberation." "Very true, but I'm not quite sure how this fits in with everything else." "We're furthering your understanding of how things came to be this way."
"I don't get it."
"You say the takers will never give up their tyranny over the world, no matter how bad things get. How did they get to be this way? They got to be this way because they've always believed that what they were doing was right, and therefore to be done at any cost, whatever. They've always believed that, like the gods, they know what's right to do and what's wrong to do. And what they're doing is right. They've demonstrated this by forcing everyone in the world to do what they do, to live the way they live. Everyone had to be forced to live like the takers, because the takers had the one right way."
"Yes, I can certainly see that.
Many peoples among the leavers practiced agriculture, but they never had the delusion that what they were doing was right. That everyone in the world had to practice agriculture, that every last square yard of the planet had to be devoted to it. They didn't say to the people around them, 'You may no longer live by hunting and gathering. This is wrong, and we forbid it. Put your land under cultivation, or we'll kill you.' What they said was, 'You want to be hunter-gatherers? That's fine with us. We want to be agriculturalists. You be hunter-gatherers, and we'll be agriculturalists. We don't pretend to know which way is right. We just know which way we prefer.'"
"Yes, I see."
"And if they got tired of being agriculturalists,